Everybody, I am back from my road trip with my better half. We went to Bryce Canyon in Utah. And if you guys have never been to Utah, Bryce Canyon, Zion, man, you're missing out. It's a very special place on this planet. That's just not my opinion. When we were there at Bryce Canyon, English-speaking folks were in the minority. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, people come from all over the world to see Bryce Canyon. It's an amazing place, and I love seeing all the foreigners. I love foreigners who go hiking and they're wearing their sneakers. But you know what? My wife and I were talking. The very first time we went hiking, we hiked in our sneakers too. Multiple blisters later, we learned our lesson. So we are hikers. We love to hike. And we were on a hiking trip to Death Valley when the idea for the hike movie started percolating in my cranium. Yeah. Enough about my trip. It was great. I highly recommend going to Utah. Another high recommendation, see the horror movie, Talk to Me. I'm a horror aficionado, and I don't like American horror anymore. They're just retreads. I mean, how many Conjuring movies can we have? How many Insidious movies can we have? But please, please, if you like horror films, but you know, The Hike played horror festivals, and I still don't believe The Hike is a horror movie. It's got horror elements. I digress. Talk to Me. That is the name of an Australian horror movie. Comes in at a tight 90 minutes. And I'm here to tell you, it's a breath of fresh air.
Some kind of wonderful.
If you like horror movies, please watch it. You will be so happy that you did. And as a matter of fact, if we have any Joe Rogan podcast fans out there, the writers, directors of Talk to Me are brothers. The duo of brothers. And they were just on Joe Rogan last week. I don't know how to pronounce their name, but it's the episode before Elon Musk. They're very irritating. My God, it was rough to get through that podcast with their voices, and they're just so hyper. And Joe was calling them out on it. But they had some really cool things to say about filmmaking and the problems that they had making Talk to Me. And if you listen to the podcast, then see the movie. Or watch the movie, then listen to the podcast. Really well done movie. Matthew Perry died. I was in film school from 93 to 97. And those of you who know the North Carolina School of the Arts, it's also a high school, and it's a college. We shared common facilities. So here I am, 30-something years old, and I'm in a cafeteria with 15-year-olds. I'm in a library with 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds. Friends was in its heyday when I was in film school, and our campus shut down on Thursday nights when Friends was on the NBC network. I mean, those of you who have been born post-Friends, you guys have no idea what kind of impact that show had. And for me personally, when I heard that Perry died, I was not surprised at all because I had read his book. And if you read his book, the poor guy had so many demons that he wrestled with from a very early age. He almost died a number of times, and the demons just got him. Now, I guess they're saying they didn't find any fentanyl in his system. So, I mean, that was the first thought is like, he was doing drugs, but he got some bad drugs. But anyway, it's very sad. It just goes to show you, you can have all the money. You guys can Google it. The stars of Friends are set for life. They never have to work again for money. Residuals, all the syndicated showings of Friends. You can have all the money. You can have all the fame, the notoriety. But when you got those demons don't give a shit how much money you have. So I digress again. Well, I just want to get caught up with everybody, all right? All right.
Excellent.
I got lots of comments in the mailbag about the last episode and about my idea of not having auditions and not having rehearsals. And I know many of you, that is such a weird thing for me to say because you don't know any better. You go to film school, you read books about filmmaking, auditions and rehearsals are in there. I mean, we're pre-programmed to think that way. I'm just telling you what I did. That's the whole idea behind this podcast. I'm trying to tell you how I made the hike. One individual made the hike, paid for it, made it. And when I say made it, I made every decision. Of course, I had a great crew. Of course, I had a great cinematographer. And I had decent actors. But when there was a decision to be made, it was mine. From pre-production all the way through to post-production. So when I say I made the movie, that's what I mean by I made the movie. I made every fucking decision there was in that movie and paid for it. Can I say that again? And paid for it. So, you know, it can be done. I did it. Anybody could do it because I'm no brain surgeon. I'm not a rocket scientist like my son. All I can tell you is do what makes you comfortable. Don't listen to me. If you feel comfortable having auditions, having rehearsals, please go ahead. Because you need to be in a good mind space. You need to be in a good head space when you decide to make a movie. And if it's going to stress you out to not have auditions, not have rehearsals, oh, I'm going to do what Dave said on the podcast. If that's going to stress you out, then don't do it. You've got so many other things to worry about. And if having auditions and rehearsals makes you feel better, makes you feel more comfortable, I'm all for that. Now, some of it has to do with my age also. And I've brought it up in the past. You know, your parents, your grandparents, they're wise. Wisdom is accumulated experiences. And all those life experiences that you've gone through have showed you good decisions and the results of those good decisions. Woo! And bad decisions and the consequences of those bad decisions.
Ew.
And learning is screwing up. You don't learn anything when you do it right. You learn when you make mistakes. Now, if you're going to make a movie and you're going to pay for it, that mistake is going to cost you, literally cost you. But that's what pre-production and getting all the information about filmmaking that you can into your system, into your hard drive. Just do your due diligence. Now, I will tell you, just so you guys don't think I'm an outlier, a movie opened up called Priscilla, and it's all about Priscilla Presley and her love affair with Elvis. Now, let me see this guy's name that plays Elvis. Okay, his name is Jacob Elordi, E-L-O-R-D-I. Apparently, he was in Euphoria on HBO, and he plays Elvis in the movie. While we were in Utah, my wife, she's a huge Today Show fan, and I had to watch the Today Show every morning while we were getting ready to go out on our hike for the day. And Jacob was on the Today Show, and he talked about Sofia Coppola, who is the director of Priscilla, and he talked about how he got cast. So he said he got a phone call from Sofia, and she just wanted to meet for lunch. So he met her for lunch. They had a nice long chat. Then when they were done, they said their goodbyes, and he didn't hear anything for a couple of weeks. Then out of the blue, she called him up and offered him the part. Now that sounds like the way I would do things. So obviously, Sofia Coppola saw his work in Euphoria, saw his look. Now, you know, I don't know what happened after that. I don't know if they had rehearsals. I don't know that much about Sofia Coppola. But it sounds like he didn't have to audition. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've got actors that you like and you have their reels and you see that they know what they're doing, why do you need to audition them? Now, one of the comments that I got in the mailbag was paraphrasing, you know, what if you get stuck with some dickhead actor? And there are plenty of dickhead actors. Believe me when I tell you that. I think what Sofia did is kind of what I did in film school and then I did on the hike. You know, I talk to the people. I'm a pretty good judge of character once I start talking to somebody. I have a great bullshit detector, and I pretty much can tell if I'm going to get along with somebody in the first 5 minutes of chatting with them. So that's how you guard against working with somebody who's going to be an asshole. Chat with them. Talk to them. Meet them face-to-face, preferably. I was busier than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. So that's why I talked to my actors on the phone. I didn't meet my female lead until the first day of production. I didn't meet her face to face. Talked to her on the phone quite a bit. If you feel good about how you interpret people, then talk to them. You're going to learn right away if they're going to be acceptable to have on your shoot. And there was another comment about auditions and discovering if an actor can take direction. That is a great point. And we touched on that a little bit in the last episode. More for you and your insecurities if you want to give the actor some direction and see if they respond to your requests. I'm going to fall back on that experience thing. If you're dealing with an actor who hasn't been in a lot of projects, I would definitely have an audition. If you are interested in someone who doesn't have a lot of past work that you can look at, that you can watch, then have an audition. Give them notes and see if they perform the way you want them to. See if they listen to your notes. Now, if you're a director and you're casting your movie and you have an actor and that actor has a great look, you love the look, they don't have a big resume, and you audition them and you give them a couple of different swings at a scene and you give them notes after every swing at the scene and they don't respond at all, then move on. Do not cast that actor, because during production, you don't have time for that bullshit. Because remember, you're an independent filmmaker. Time is money, and time goes so fast. So you don't have time for multiple takes because your actor is not listening to the director. Does that make sense? You can also have somebody who's got a great resume, tons of work on their reel, and then they walk on set and they have this God complex like they're the shit and they're going to do things the way they want to do them. Well, you know, that meeting, that dinner, that lunch, that phone call, you will probably be able to figure that out ahead of time. And then, you know, it's a tough call when somebody has that perfect look, but yet you have this feeling and you have this sense like, this person could be a problem. This person might not take direction very well. That's tough. For me personally, I'm going to err on the side of, if your personality sucks, I don't want you on my movie set. You might have a perfect look, but I can't deal with that. Because when you're running the show, like I was running the show, man, you just don't need that headache. I can't stress that enough. You've got to do everything in your power to surround yourself with people who will cooperate with your vision and they're excited to be there. You know, I had to fire a PA, and we'll get to that. But, you know, I was the producer. And when it came to getting rid of a cancerous individual, then I had to pull the trigger, metaphorically, of course. But we'll get to that. And there's one other thing I want to bring up to you about acting. And it's a little story. It happened to me after I recorded the last episode of this podcast. So on Backstage, a writer-director contacted me and said, I think you would be perfect for this role. Kind of told me a little bit about the story, sent me the side, and asked me to audition. That's fine. You know, I've got a little reel. I don't have a big reel. That's fine. Oh, by the way, some people just want to see, especially if you're the writer, if you're a writer-director, some people just want to see the actor that they want to play this role. They want to see this actor recite the lines that they've written and see if the look and the sound and the feel is the character that the way they see it. And I get that. I totally get that. And if you're one of those people, yeah, do it. Just don't work the shit out of the actor. And that's what this guy did. This guy gave me a side, and I think it was like 2 pages, maybe 6 or 7 lines that were very short. So he asked me to do it, and I set up my camera, or I set up my phone in camera mode, shot the scene, sent it to him. Well, he was elated. He was ecstatic. He said, "You're my guy." Now, this role was unpaid. On Backstage, you know, they have paid roles and they have unpaid roles. This was unpaid. It was a feature film. It was a feature independent horror film. And I was playing an evil character. They were shooting it 2 hours away. And I was going to be needed for 4 nights. And the shooting was going to take place all night long for 4 days. Okay, I'm not really excited about driving 2 hours and spending 4 days for free. But, you know, if the role is good, I'll do it. So I asked the guy, I said, "Look, before I commit, can I read the script?" He said, "Sure, Dave." So he sent me the script. It's a good script. I'm not going to betray the trust of the writer-director. I'm not going to tell you what it was about. It's a good story. My character was, I had some lines. I think the sides that he gave me to read were probably a quarter of my lines in the entire movie. But I had a lot of screen time. I was seen, but I didn't say anything. So I just had this presence, this evil presence. And if you see my face, you'll understand. I can look very evil. So when I saw that it really wasn't an actor's role, and when I say that, I mean there weren't really any juicy monologues. And if you're a writer-director, or even if you're a writer, always write at least one great monologue that an actor can sink his or her teeth into. Because that monologue will be on their reel. That monologue may win them an Oscar or may win them an acting award of some kind. So there were no monologues for this character. Lines here, lines there. See me here, see me there. And there was a fight scene and a showdown at the end between me and the lead guy who was a young kid. But you know, I just wasn't feeling it. It was just, what did I just say about horror movies? It didn't bring anything fresh. And I'm in a position where I do want good roles, and I'm not going to be in a piece of shit. And I learned my lesson the hard way because of the very first job I did. And I told you it was a piece of shit, and it was paid. So I did that for the money. But then I realized afterwards it wasn't worth it because I was embarrassed by it. So I'll never do that again. I'm not your typical actor who is going to jump through hoops to take any role whatsoever. I'm fortunate. I'm very fortunate. That I don't need it. I want it, but I don't need it. And this poor guy, I had to tell him I had to decline the role because it just didn't speak to me. It wasn't worth the trip up there, spending 4 nights for no money. And I really didn't have any real material. Yeah, maybe I could have used the fight scene in my reel because they actually had a stunt coordinator coming in to do the fight scene. That would have been fun. That would have been kind of cool. But, you know, I wasn't excited about it, and I got to be excited about it. I got to like the script. I liked him. I liked him as a director. He had an amazing directing reel. I told my wife, it's like, this guy knows his shit. He's going to be a great filmmaker, and I'll probably regret turning this role down because if he turns into a great filmmaker, then, you know, I won't be an actor in his stable. And I don't blame him. But anyway, I turned it down. Sorry. But here's my point of this whole entire story. Do not put all your eggs in one basket. When you're casting your movie, and I know this is production, but we're actually going back to pre-production kind of with this one. Have a number of options. Okay, get like 5 actors for every role. Pick out 5 people that you like and you can rate them number 1 through number 5. Or go 10. Go as many as you can to tell you the truth. Because what if somebody does that to you? You put all your hope and faith into one actor, and maybe that actor reads a script and doesn't like it, and they decline the role that you offered them without an audition. Well, I mean, you know, without a cattle call audition. Come to this office in LA, and you walk in the door, and there's 20 guys that kind of look like you standing around waiting to go in. No cattle calls. So yeah, he did make me audition, but that was fine. I didn't mind that. Back to my point, always have a backup and have a backup to a backup and a backup to a backup to a backup and be prepared. My lead female, I told you I fired the first 3 and I probably, had I not run out of time, I would have fired the one that's in the movie too because I'm a hard ass that way. You know, and for you actors out there, if you want to know how to conduct yourself on a movie set and be the consummate professional that I know you are, Google search Michael Caine on Inside the Actor's Studio and just watch it. Michael Caine is in the Batman movies, the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. You guys will recognize him as soon as you see him. I've been aware of Caine my entire life. He's a great actor and has a long career in film. I've seen many of his movies. But for all you actors out there, please watch that and see what he has to say about his role as an actor, his role on set as an actor, reciting the lines that some writer put his blood, sweat, and tears into. It's very eye-opening. So fingers crossed for you filmmakers out there that you will cast somebody who has the Michael Caine attitude about acting in film. And that's what I strive to do when I'm on a set. As an actor, the director tells me to jump and I ask how high. So anyway, this is running long. So much for production. Well, we went into the mailbag and there were some things that I thought needed to be clarified. And then, of course, we had to talk about current events and Talk to Me, one of the best movies I've seen all year. Yeah, you can keep your Oppenheimer and Barbie and Geriatric Jones and MI6 or 7 or 8 or whatever the hell number they're on. Please. Hopefully, the next podcast, we're going to talk about actual production. But I gave you some good bits here, some things that you can take with you on your filmmaking journey. And, you know, find what works for you, man. Just because I do it one way and Sofia Coppola does it one way doesn't mean that's the way you got to do it. But keep your mind open. Please keep an open mind. One last thought before I leave you. We should have a drinking game for this episode. Every time I say the word shit, take a shot.
Yeah!
For some strange reason today, that word is rolling off my tongue quite often. I do apologize. It is what it is. All right, let's get out of here. Have a great week. Always remember to be a lion, not a sheep.